Could pilots finally get fair treatment from the NTSB? Congress is ready to protect through the fence agreements. And there's no doubt left that tarmac stranding rule is working. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, February 15th, 2011. Time is winding down on the public comment period on an advanced notice of proposed rulemaking through which the U.S. National Transportation Safety Board is reviewing portions of the Code of Federal Regulation. Among the tweaks expected are responses to specific requests for changes, updating obsolete rules, and modernizing to accommodate electronic filings. One of the issues brought by outside parties requesting changes has been the manner in which NTSB administrative law judges may have shortchanged the rights of airmen appearing before them for appeals of emergency certificate revocations. ANN profiled one of these cases last week, the case of former FAA Inspector Ed Jeska, who lost all his pilot certificates earned over a lifetime in what appeared to be a personal vendetta from within the Birmingham FISDO, with nothing a court would consider evidence of the wrongdoing alleged. The NTSB appears to have simply taken the FAA's accusation as fact and refused to hear testimony from a witness for the defense. Ed sees the public comment period, which ends Tuesday of next week, the 22nd, as an urgent opportunity to fix something really broken in our system. Read his comments in the text version of this story, dated February 14th, and hear my two-part interview with Ed that was released in the special feature February 8th and 9th at aero-news.net. Boy, is it me, or does it seem lately that the FAA is much better at breaking things than fixing them? At least all the stumbling is getting attention from the outside. Both the House and Senate versions of FAA reauthorization now include language which would prohibit the FAA from declaring an airport to be non-compliant with its grant obligations solely as a result of a through-the-fence access agreement with a neighboring property owner. FAA staffers with no pre-FAA background in aviation have been pressing the anti-through-the-fence agenda, insisting that federally funded airports cannot allow neighboring hangar homes to have runway access. It's hard to find anybody else who likes this idea. It would cost small airports the lease fees, which can represent as much as half the revenue, lower adjacent property values, reduce the tax base for municipalities owning the airports, and in some cases encourage non-compatible development. The FAA reauthorization bill is expected to pass this year after many temporary extensions. We expect to talk with Brent Blue of ThroughTheFence.org next week on the ANN special feature. The on-time performance of the nation's largest airlines was essentially flat in 2010 compared to the previous year. This is according to the Air Travel Consumer Report, released Thursday by the U.S. Department of Transportation. DOT says the 18 largest carriers reported 79.8% of flights arrived on time for January through December. That's up just 0.3% from 2009. December numbers were 72.0 for both 2009 and 2010. For those who've not been ready to declare DOT's tarmac stranding rule a success, the report lists only 15 total tarmac delays of more than 3 hours from May through December of 2010 among the 18 airlines reporting. That compares to 584 during the same 8-month period of 2009. Up next on ANN, the FAA has approved enhanced vision for the Falcon 7X. Dassault announces its M&O seminar schedule for 2011. And Magellan Aerospace will develop another wire strike protection system. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for February 15th. I'm Paul Platt. The FAA has certified Dassault Falcon's enhanced vision system for the Falcon 7X. Certification was received from EASA in July of last year. Dassault's EVS provides an image on the heads-up display and flight deck displays that enables the pilots to see the terrain and airport environment in fog, haze, snow, or at night. It offers a unique two-mode setting that optimizes the video for either an approach configuration to enhance approach and runway lights, or a general-purpose configuration. It also takes advantage of special infrared video processing developed specifically to minimize visual artifacts and distortion. A one-day pilot training course, consisting of ground instruction and full-flight simulator training, including at least six approaches, is required for operators planning to use EVS. Dassault Falcon's Regional Maintenance and Operations Seminar Series will continue again this year, with a total of 13 seminars to be held in 8 countries around the globe. The M&O Seminar Series gives Falcon operators an opportunity to communicate face-to-face with Dassault's specialists and engineering teams on a variety of topics. This year's series runs March 16th through August 11th in cities including Rome, Italy, Phoenix, Seattle, Dallas, Geneva, Switzerland, Toluca, Mexico, Beijing, China, Atlanta, Malwa, New Jersey, Chicago, Mumbai, India, Toronto, and Sao Paulo, Brazil. You can find out more at DassaultFalcon.com under the latest news column at the left of the page. A new wire strike protection system will be developed for the Hindustan Aeronautics Limited Advanced Light Helicopter by Magellan Aerospace. The agreement includes design and development, which will be carried out at Magellan's Bristol Aerospace Division in Winnipeg during this year. In 1977, Bristol, with the Canadian Forces, designed the system to provide a measure of protection for helicopters from the potentially devastating consequences of inadvertent encounters with horizontally strung wires and cables. In 2009, a milestone was reached with the delivery of the 20,000th Wire Strike Protection System kit. More than 65 models have been developed for commercial and military customers around the world. Still ahead, the first aircraft certified for blended biofuels is the C-17. Bell delivers India's first 429. And FBOs just saved a bunch of somebody's time. You're listening to Aero News.
Freedom through performance. At Cirrus, performance is not simply the measurement of a single design parameter. Rather, it's a total package. It's optimum balance of speed, efficiency, comfort, safety, ease of flight, and quality. We call it Cirrus Flying 2.0. Aren't you ready to feel the freedom?
Piperjet.
Piper Match.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, February 15th. I'm Paul Plack. The first aircraft to be certified for unlimited usage of hydroprocessed blended biofuels, known as hydrotreated renewable jet fuels, was announced last week, but it didn't come from a civilian regulator. It came from the U.S. Air Force, and the plane is the C-17 Globemaster III. Jeff Braun, the Air Force's Alternative Fuel Certification Office Chief, commented, quote, "We expect to conclude HRJ flight testing within the next 12 months, supporting fleet-wide HRJ certification within the next 22 months. When blended as we've done, this is a potential drop-in solution for jet fuel for our aircraft, requiring no modification to systems or special handling or monitoring," unquote. Bell Helicopter has made the first delivery of a Bell 429 to a customer in India. Span Air is a charter operator headquartered in New Delhi, which will use the 429 to offer customers superior speed and range and the ability to land in remote areas. India currently has 2 Bell Helicopter customer service facilities, Airworks India and Deccan Charters, to support the country's growing Bell fleet. Regionally, the Bell 429 has already found customers in China, Japan, Korea, Indonesia, the Philippines, and New Zealand, in addition to India. Finally today, if you've visited websites which have up-to-date fuel price information from airports all over the country, you may have wondered if keeping all those reporting services fed with updates was a major pain in the butt for FBOs. Well, perhaps, but it just got easier. Flight planning resource company AccuQuick has rolled out a new single point of entry feature of AccuFuel.com, which allows airport FBO managers to send their fuel pricing data to over 24 different fuel information programs and websites used by aviation professionals around the globe. The frequency of price updates is left up to participating FBOs, but users are alerted if the data is stale. The system will also send auto-generated messages to FBOs, reminding them to determine if new price adjustments are needed. I wonder if I could hack that feature and suggest lower prices to FBOs with $6 avgas. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Rich Hansen, Government and Regulatory Affairs Representative for the Academy of Model Aeronautics, tells how the RC model industry is threatened by sweeping new regulations proposed for commercial UAVs. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.